quite simply, we've been doing it because the Bible says we're going to be there 1,000 years. It says we're going to be there in glorified bodies. And either we believe that or we don't. Now, if you believe it, then that's certainly an incentive to live for it. There is the idea, and I don't know where it got started. It's certainly not biblical, that everybody that's saved loves Jesus. That's the biggest bunch of bull ever came down the pike. You don't have to love Jesus to be saved. He saved you because you were incapable of loving him. And even after you receive him as Savior, you don't have to love him to stay saved. And you don't have to love him to go to heaven. And that's one of the reasons that it's so hard for some groups of people that claim to be assemblies that come together to worship God. It's so hard for them to understand the difference between grace and works. Salvation is by grace. Period. Salvation is by grace. Works are for rewards. And you cannot perform works for the Lord until after you're saved. And then it has to be according to the directions by His Spirit that lives in you through the new birth, as directed by the book the Spirit wrote for that purpose. So, a lot of people get saved and never do love Jesus. Oh, during the time they're saved, when they first repent of their sins and come to Jesus, there's a great feeling of relief. And they'll say, praise the Lord, and go home thanking Him, and go to bed that night just so pleased and thankful that they know Jesus. Be nice if that continues. But if you don't continue in the Word, you'll never learn how to love Him. You'll never really be a disciple unless you get to know Him. Just because you see a pretty girl on the street, you don't believe that she loves you or that you can love her until you get to know her. And you either love her or don't love her. Based on what you discover about her and what she's like and whether or not she loves you. I imagine most of our churches, if you went back and checked their church roll and all the people that had joined it and been added to it since the church was first organized, I imagine you'd find the bulk of them don't really love the Lord. And the ones that do have an inheritance waiting for them in heaven. That's why I'm presenting this millennial reign thing. And there's nothing wrong with working for the Lord for rewards, because He talks about them all the time. Now, I stopped last Sunday night around 2 Timothy chapter 2 and around verses 11 through 13. I went back this afternoon and I typed this up and printed it out, because it has to do with the inheritance. It has to do with your life for 1,000 years, my life for 1,000 years, and our life forever after that. And this really ought to be very important to you. It'll be important if you believe it. It won't be important if you don't believe it. If you don't believe you're going to be somewhere else for 1,000 years, if you don't believe you're going to be somewhere for all eternity after that, then this probably won't affect you very much. But if you believe that, it'll mean something to you. 1 Corinthians 2:9 and 10. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. As I pointed out many times, that's a carnal eye, that's a carnal ear, that's a carnal heart. But you can know the things that God has prepared, or at least you can get a pretty good idea from His Scriptures. He didn't leave you in the dark. The things which God has prepared for them that are saved. No, that's not what it says. The things which God has prepared for them that love Him. When you arrive in heaven, you're going to be there because of grace. And you're going to live there forever because of grace. And you're going to have a glorified body by grace. But everything else in the inheritance is something that depends on how much you love the Lord as to how much you receive in heaven. That's why there are so many different religions, so many different beliefs. They can't separate grace from works, but the Bible does. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. The Spirit wrote this book up here, and I'm presenting this book, and everything in this book I'm trying to present that has to do with the deep things of God. The deep things of God are beyond salvation. They're past scriptural baptism. They're past being faithful in the church. But once you've been saved, you've been scripturally baptized, and you start being faithful in the church, God will let you learn the deep things, and He'll give you a mighty good reason for serving Him, if you love Him. This scripture is just as valid as this one. It's just as valid as 1 Corinthians 2, 9, and 10. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Once you're saved, you start planting a crop. And the crop that you plant is by the Spirit of Christ that lives in you. He is the living seed in you. And you sow, and you either sow to the flesh, or you sow according to this book, as directed by the Spirit. You do one or the other. If you sow to the Spirit by following this book that He wrote, you're going to reap something very special in the millennium and the final heaven age. But you can't reap what you don't sow. And I'm talking about an inheritance, because a crop that you plant, you receive as an inheritance for your labor in doing so. 1 Corinthians 15, 8. It's something I think about a lot. Something I never thought about the night I was saved, and didn't think about till I was 38 years old. I knew I was going to heaven. Knew I was going to get a glorified body. But this inheritance was something that was very vague to me. It's very vague to a lot of people in our churches. You know why it was vague to me? I didn't love God. I didn't love Jesus. Or I was grateful that I was saved. But I didn't love Him. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed His own body. How well I serve Him is going to depend on what kind of a glorified body I receive, how glorious it will be in appearance, and it's going to determine what clothes I wear in heaven. Hebrews 11:35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. I wonder what we'd do if we were tortured. I wonder if we'd renounce our faith. Whether or not you renounce your faith depends on how much you love Him. And a lot of people were tortured. They didn't accept deliverance. They went ahead and were tortured. Went through it. Why in the world would they do that? That they might obtain a better resurrection. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, what's he going to reap at a better resurrection? Well, what happens at the resurrection? You get a new body. 1 Corinthians 15, 38. But God gives it a body as it hath pleased Him to ever see His own body. So what we're talking about after we get saved is, what kind of reward do we want in heaven from God? How much of the inheritance do we want? 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 8. Now here is the perfect example. He wasn't a perfect man. He was a sinful man. But He Himself is someone that you can look at, who twice told you He was an example to you. And He says, I have fought a good fight. You can do that. I have finished my course. You can stay faithful to death. I have kept the faith. You can keep a system of teaching and doctrine that He once delivered to the saints, where He delivered teachings concerning salvation, secure the believer, baptism by immersion by the authority of the local church, Lord's Supper is a closed ordinance of the church, and the church is local and visible. You can believe that, and you can do these three things. You can't live above sin, but you can do this. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Every one of you that know Christ are capable of doing that. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, there's an inheritance. There's a reward. There's something in heaven that you need to have, you want to have, should want to have, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Don't tell me that you can't do what Paul did. You can't do the same thing he did. You live in a different era of time. But you can fight a good fight.
You can finish your course and you can keep the faith, and so can I. What's he going to give him? And not to me only. You want a crown? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Did Paul love the church? Lord in mercy, read Ephesians. Did he love the church? Do you love the church? If you love the church, you love Christ's body. If you love his body, you love him. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I know some people that are saved, just saved Zion, who aren't looking forward to his coming. I've had some people in missionary Baptist churches, when I talk to them about the soon coming of the Lord, I've had some say, oh, Brother Michael Murray, let's hope not. I want to have grandchildren. Let's hope not. I want my kids to finish school. And when they talk about all that, it gives you a direct indication. You say, well, that's just natural. Well, I know it is. Believe me, I understand it. I've got a natural man in my flesh that feels the same way. But if you're following the Spirit of the Lord, you ought to want to see Jesus. Kids found an old poem yesterday that I wrote Imogene. I don't know if they found it or if Imogene showed it to them. But my life is ruined. I wrote it when I was 22 years old. I was infatuated with her. Could not stay away from her. And I wrote her this letter, and I put this poem on the end of it. And I can't get it away from them. And she still got that thing. I couldn't stay away from her. I just was crazy in love with her. I'd never known anything like that in my life. I just wanted her, I wanted to be with her all the time. Now, that's the way we ought to feel about the Lord. Because the Lord's perfect. And Imogene didn't die for me, but Jesus did. And I sure would like to see him. So as I've told you before, if I die on one of these trips, don't worry about it. Sing no sad songs for me. I'll just get seen before you do. John 14:15. All right, if you're going to receive an inheritance in heaven, a reward, you're going to have a better resurrection. Here's the key. John 14:15. You know who he said that to? 11 men. 11 men. All of them scripturally baptized by John. All of them followed Jesus for more than 3 years. They were the first church that Jesus organized during his ministry, and he spoke directly to them. He said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Sometimes we concentrate so much on grace, and we concentrate on thanking God so much for grace, that we just kind of push works over in the corner. Works are by grace, because if you hadn't been saved by the grace of God, and if Christ wasn't living in me and living in you, we couldn't perform God's works. And if we tried to keep his commandments, we couldn't do it. And even if we kept one of them for a while, God wouldn't accept our efforts, because we had never come to Christ, his son. We'd never honored the son. Now, you've seen this scripture many times. And I think it's good to see scriptures many times. Revelation 22:14. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance they might obtain a better resurrection. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now let's look at this reward. What is it? If you love me, keep my commandments. Look at Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do not know them. But you have to know them to do them. A lot of people know them, but they don't do them. That they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. So let's take a look at the Christian life. 2 Timothy 2:11-13. Covered this many times. Do I cover it because I can't find anything else to preach? No, I do pray an awful lot about God's Spirit to lead me. And one of the things that God's Spirit has impressed on me is to make sure
that people understand something well enough to where they can present it to someone else. That's extremely important. 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13. Here's the faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So let's start off with, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. I know you've heard me preach that before several times. But I'm going to try to break it down point by point. If someone ever asks you about all this, I hope you remember it. So what does it mean when it says, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him? This is the instantaneous experience God performed on the believer the second he placed in Christ to save him from the condemnation of God for sin. It was instantaneous. It lasts forever. Paul speaks of it as what happened to the soul the instant it placed its faith in Christ for salvation. This is what happened. You say, well, I didn't even know this happened. Well, that's why the Bible was written. You can't really understand the experience of salvation until after you've actually had it and experienced it. It's based on repentance and faith, and you have to repent of what you are and put your faith in Jesus. Then for the first time, God can explain to you what he did. It's a spiritual thing. In Galatians 2:20-21, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the new birth. And the life which I now live in the flesh, well, you're still living in the flesh. I live with the faith of the Son of God. Now he's in you. You sure could live a Christ-like life if you hadn't had the new birth. And if you hadn't been crucified with Christ by accepting him as your Savior, God spiritually crucified with you with his Son. He buried you with his Son. He resurrected with you with his Son. Now his Son lives in you. Now you can do this. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Okay, that's the first part of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11. Now let's look at verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Forget verse 11. We're talking about a new if. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. You mean it's possible for someone to get saved and not love Jesus? Sure. If they aren't willing to suffer and put up with any persecution or any rejections or people that hurt their feelings, if God calls them to pastor and they can't stand the heat in the kitchen and they get out, they don't love Jesus and they're not going to reign with him. If you can't put up with sorry preaching when you worship God, if you can't put up with repetition, if you can't put up with the other church members, and you're not willing to suffer with putting up with other church members, putting up with the other trials and tribulations of life, you don't love Jesus. And you won't reign with him. Because he's not going to reward you for dying for you. He's going to reward you for suffering for him because you think he's worthy of suffering for him. He said, if we deny to suffer him, if we won't love him, if we won't put up with any suffering in our lives, he's going to deny us. Deny us what? Reign with him. He won't let us reign with him. He will also deny us. Now, I can't think of anything fairer than that. I can't think of anything plainer than that. If the saved soul refuses to join one of his local churches because of the suffering it will experience in identifying with such a body, then Christ will deny that soul the right to reign with him in heaven. That's the importance of the church. You can't join one of God's churches and believe what we believe without having at least some mild persecution, without having some people tell you that you're a religious fanatic, without some people telling you that you're shutting people out from the Lord's Supper and you just don't love the Lord. You're going to suffer some. And you're going to suffer loss of business that you could have had by belonging to a prominent, large church. Christ will deny that soul the right to reign with.
Not the right to be in heaven in a glorified body, but the right to serve him there. This is not a child's game. And a lot of churches try to make this a fun and game occupation. They do an awful lot of things to make sure that they attract people into church. And they provide an awful lot of entertainment and a lot of fun and games, a lot of extracurricular activities to make sure that those people have an incentive to love Jesus. There's nothing like a little suffering and a little rejection to humble you. There's nothing like a little suffering and a little rejection to let Christ deliver you and teach you to love him even more. Fun and games don't keep people in a church and teach them to love Jesus. Now, I believe in extracurricular activities. I believe we ought to have Sunday school. I believe that the things we young people do, we try very hard to gear all this according to the Bible and not to go over the line. And I certainly don't have any problems with the way we do it here. But there's a line. And once you step over it, the church turns from a church into an entertainment center. Now, verse 13. We've covered verse 11 and 12. Now let's look at 13. If we believe not, now he's not talking about lost people. He's talking about a person that gets saved, buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ, experiences a new birth. Talking about a person that has an opportunity to serve, and whether he loves or not, he loves the Lord. Now he's talking about a person that just isn't faithful in any way. You say, well, he can't go to heaven. Salvation is by grace. Period. Salvation is by grace. Period. But some people can't even remember for sure whether or not they were saved. They take a deliberate forgetfulness. Lethe lambano. They take a deliberate action. And every time the Holy Spirit tries to get them to submit to baptism or to join the church, they deliberately take a forgetfulness. That doesn't mean they're not saved, but it does mean they don't love Jesus. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, and how can anyone say that Jesus wasn't faithful? He cannot deny himself. The expression, if we believe not, in the original inspired Greek text does not refer to non-believers, but to believers who are not faithful to Christ in their belief. And as such, means that he cannot deny his own faithfulness as a man by allowing them to rule with him. Now, I wouldn't be a Baptist if I didn't believe what Baptists teach. I'm a Baptist. But I'm only a Baptist because what Baptists teach is the truth. Is it possible for someone to get saved by grace and go over into a church that teaches you can lose your salvation and deliberately sit there for the wrong reason? Absolutely. For years, I was able to curb myself of my anger and never say anything back when someone I would meet would say, "Oh, you're a Baptist preacher." I used to be a Baptist. And you know what I discovered in virtually every case when I asked him, "Well, why aren't you a Baptist now?" He said, "Well, my wife's Church of Christ, and I just went over to her church. Makes things a whole lot easier." You say, "Well, he lost his salvation." No, he didn't lose his salvation. He just didn't love Jesus. Has that ever happened before? How about Adam and Eve? Eve got faked out. Eve was deceived. But Adam wasn't deceived. And he ate of that fruit because he loved the woman more than he loved Jesus. So this Christian life is one that involves rejection because of what you believe, requires you to be steadfast and faithful to him to the end. If I went into a Church of Christ and joined it, knowing what I believe. That would be to rub cow manure in the Lord's face. You say, that's too extreme. No, it's not. Because I wouldn't love it. Would I go to hell? No. But you can rest assured that he's going to deny me the right to reign with him because I haven't been faithful to him. Now, the truth is the truth. You may put it in a very brutal way, but I do that for a purpose. This is something that is absolutely, totally wrong. Now, I can understand someone that doesn't know the truth, never has been exposed to the truth, in a false church. Yes, I believe there are lots of saved people in false churches. I believe that. But it is a totally different matter to be in a false church, never having been exposed to the truth, but to know the truth and then go into a false church because of money, position, prestige, or a wife or a husband is blasphemy against God. I can't put it any stronger. I want you to know how I feel about it. It's not what I feel. The Bible teaches you are to love Christ. And once you know the truth about him and what the church is, you better stay right where you are or go to a church of like faith and order. There's no question that all believers will be changed at the first resurrection. But God determines its degree. 1 Corinthians 15, 51-58. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's very important to love the Lord that you serve and worship in one of his churches. I mean, there's no other way. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his works shall be. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, why have I spent so much time on 2 Timothy 2:11-12? Look back at 2 Timothy 2:1-5. There, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I interpreted verses 11 and 12 in context. Now, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:1-5. Okay, you've been saved by grace. Now be strong in it. How is that possible? And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. And you know what? I've heard them of Paul also. And I've heard what he wrote. And I'm called of God for a purpose. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I don't know what your opinion is of what I just taught you and what I just preached and how emphatic I was. But I'm not going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and not have been emphatic with you, because faithful men are men who are faithful to the teachings of Christ. And the Church of Christ does not teach the teachings of Christ. And the reason I'm a Baptist, it's because it's based on that book. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You have to suffer a little. Remember, this is in the same chapter. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. What means more to you? Your love for Christ or something in this life? You say, such as. Such is anything in this life. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Who do you love the most, Jesus or something else? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. He's there to fight a war. He's there to be a soldier, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strives for masteries, yet he is not crowned. I believe what I'm teaching you about the millennial reign. Otherwise, I wouldn't teach it. But if you believe something and you teach it, you better act on it. I don't want to lose my crown. So why this outburst about the Church of Christ and their teachings? I could have just as well picked some others. But I picked the Church of Christ because they're always giving us a black eye. And I picked it to be emphatic about the love for Jesus. Why? And a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. What does that mean? Unless he strives according to the teachings of this book, in particular the New Testament. And that's my responsibility to you. And if I have to be emphatic to do it, I'll do it. And if it makes you angry because I'm so emphatic, I'm sorry it makes you angry, but I'm not sorry that I've been emphatic, because I want a crown in heaven. And I've got to stay lawful to this book. And if I don't teach you the truth about it and the importance of being faithful in one of God's churches, I've fallen down on what I was called to do. And I'm teaching you something that I want you to pass on to others. And I want you to be able to defend the faith that you believe and to think it's worth something. Well, it is now 7 o'clock. And I've gone about as far as I want to go. And you've probably heard about as much as you want to hear. So, Brother Charles Trustee, would you dismiss us?